welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's always thrown together at the last minute to keep it fresh, like the Prince of Bel-Air. And my very special guest is Mo Bedard, coming at us from some particular FEMA region. It's almost like a cross between FEMA and a demon, which isn't too far from the truth, really, now that I think about it. Mo, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on, Vinny. It's such a short notice. I really appreciate it. But no, it's an honor to be on your show. So when Vinny calls, I suggest you answer. And it's great to be on your show. Thank you for having me on again.
Well, it's nice because you're one of four people that did answer.
No, you're doing a show every day, you know, for several hours, and I know you have a lot of guests and a big itinerary you have to fill up, so it could be overwhelming. And I'm doing it on a small scale compared to you, just like a show or two every week, and that is overwhelming in itself for me. So hats off to you and to everybody else that does things like this. It's a lot of work, and if you're doing this every day, it is a hell of a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. I'm even behind on my archives, Mo. I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning last night editing together a presentation by a dentist named Dr. Stan Latrasse, I think, here in New Zealand, a little half-hour presentation with his slides and two camera angles and what have you. So that's why the Vinnie Eastwood Show archives aren't up, because the Fluoride Action Network needs me to get off my ass sometimes.
Yeah, no, it just, I don't know how you do all that on top of, you know, the radio shows and your videos and your activism and so forth. So, again, it's a lot of work to do this stuff, and it's a low-paying job in itself. I'm finding it's tough to fund what I'm doing because I have to work on top of it. I have a day job where I run my own business, and, you know, it's tough to do this stuff on top of that, so... You know, I know it can be tough for you. I've been your friend as far as online. I never met you in person, but I feel like your friend for a little while and on Facebook and so forth. And, you know, it's critical that you guys get donations, you know, to support what you're doing out there. So did you ever pay your rent last month?
Obviously.
Obviously. I thought you were in like a moving van or something now, you know?
No.
I knew you would, of course, Vinny. Of course, you always...
Totally. Every time I ask for donations from my listeners always show up to support me because they don't want the show to go off air, I would assume. But the other element here is, as well, is I don't have a work, you know. I do this full time, all day, every day, exposing scumbaggery. Why? Because I'm allergic to working. All right. I stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning, pretty much every night, working because I'm allergic to actually being employed, and I can't stand it.
Yeah. Imagine that. No, hey,
I'm making unique. Lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah, no, definitely, and it's something I wish I could do full time. You know, because I actually enjoy podcasting and disseminating truth via my blog, Gnostic Warrior, and so I understand. What you do is you take a risk every month. So unfortunately, I kind of don't have a job because I run my own business. I have another website where I make a little money off advertising, and then I do websites as well. But I definitely wish I was doing this full time. But I know it's kind of tough, and I have kids to support and so forth. And again, advertising in this field, you know, now that I've been in, you know, internet marketing right now for quite some time, it's just real low paying. So again, just to support yourself, it's hats off to you again, you know, on top of the time of what you're doing out there. So,
yeah, I am feeling pretty exhausted actually, but you know, what difference will it make if I change? You know, in fact, there's something new in the works, Mo, that can actually change this whole work schedule of mine. It's called a big enough donation to get a second Mac. All right, if we had two Macs next to each other, then I can actually be working on one computer and have somebody else helping me to edit stuff on the other computer. Or even better yet, I can switch to the other computer during the ads and do editing stuff and what have you. I can save a hell of a lot of time, except new Macs cost like $2,000.
Yeah, no, I know this, the videos and the audio, the processing them, you know, to get them uploaded and rendered, it takes a lot of your computer, and you can't do anything else on your computer, so you're stuck. So you get those donations up so you can get that Mac, because you definitely can get a lot more done with two computers. You know, fortunately, you know, since I do run my own business, I can do that, is operate and have money to do things, but again, it makes it tough where I can't be as active as you are, you know, on the internet and doing these videos and these radio shows. So it's kind of a catch-22 situation that you put yourself in. But I think if you get that message out there enough, you know, there'll be enough people out there. Maybe they got like a used Mac that's not brand new, that's still really clean, that they could donate to you. Or, you know, you can get that money that, you know, some rich guy out there that loves you, Vinny, and it'll give you the money to do that. So.
Yeah, well, a dude has already donated $1,500. If somebody would match that, I can get something that's absolutely top of the line. If not, I'll just have to like scrounge around on eBay, try and find something, hope to find something that's cheap and does what it's supposed to. But yeah, it'd be nice to have another $1,500. Make that $3,000 and get yourself a really, really beefy AS computer that won't go out of date within 5 minutes or something of that nature, as they all do, which I think isn't technically possible. Anyway, Mo, can you please explain for those audience members who are unfamiliar with your work who you are and what it is that you do?
Sure. My name is Mo Bedard. I reside in Southern California. Here in United States of America, I'm in a county called San Diego and a city called Carlsbad near the beach. And I'm a father, married, and I have 5 children. In regards to what I do as far as work, I operate a website called loansafe.org. That's my main website before I got into what I'm getting into now. And that deals with mortgages and foreclosures and the banking crisis. And I started that in 2007. So that was kind of my introduction into the truth movement, was getting into the banks and the mortgages and realizing they were fraudulent, and helping the people online with my website, loansafe.org, with their mortgages. So I started a forum, and that kind of kicked off because it was right at the start of the foreclosure crisis, and no one else had a website out there. So I saw that niche out there and started this website and started providing information to homeowners in America that were suffering mortgage problems. So that's kind of when I got into activism and truth, and I started realizing the corruption. I wasn't really hip to that. You know, even though I knew it growing up, I was a kind of a punk rocker. It didn't really get into the system and the mainstream stuff. I was always against it, but I was also kind of naive. I didn't have any knowledge of how the world worked and so forth. So when I got into this website, I really learned quickly how it worked. You know, seeing Obama make promises, you know, during his election, and literally every single promise that he had made, whether it be to homeowners, you know, suffering foreclosure or other things, basically totally changed his mind on those things. And he never came through with his promises. And then the banks just basically saying one thing to the homeowners who had fraudulent contracts and then kicking them out on the street. You know, so it just was starting to see this, and I started investigating it more and more, and kind of got tuned into the truther movement. You know, the Alex Jones, I think, is the first person everybody goes to and finds, and went from there to other people. I realized, you know, he was kind of not telling as much as you could find at other places, such as your podcast, Vinny. You know, I found you a few years ago, and then also I found Henrik from Red Eyes Creations, who's a great podcaster as well. So then I got into my own studies of knowledge and so forth, and started studying Freemasonry and the occult and the history of the church and my ancestry. And it started just snowballing there to what I'm doing now. And it's called GnosticWarrior.com. And that's kind of my own spiritual trip into truth and the history of the world and who I am as well with my ancestry.
Not to be confused with the frying pan salesman known as nonstickwarrior.com.
You always got to come up with something, right?
I I don't know. There's something wrong with my brain. I have this compulsion to give really lame puns.
Yeah, and for your listeners that aren't familiar with Gnostic or Gnosis or Gnosticism, it's basically G spelled with a G, N-O-S-I-S, or whatever the variations of the spelling. It's basically knowledge of thyself, spiritual knowledge of thyself. So that's kind of the trip that I'm in now, and I feel that there's a war against this, and there has been for hundreds of years against this knowledge of ourself and our past and our ancestors. And now that I'm studying it, I'm finding out that this is the truth, and it could pretty much open up a lot of doors for people out there that have been looking for it. So I actually got my DNA tested a couple of years ago, and that was really an eye-opener to see where my ancestors had come from and where, you know, I only been in America, my family, for the last 50 years, and then they were in Canada and then France and then all over the world. But just to find out where they come from was really interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the New World Order agenda is to prevent people from having a contact with their past. I think there's a good reason to break up the family as well, because that way you don't have grandparents, their children, and their grandchildren all living together and sharing stories and bridging what they call the generation gap. I was thinking about that just yesterday. I was like, how did this generation gap actually occur? How did all the knowledge between one or two generations get completely lost and dissipated? And now we've got a society full of young people who have no idea what it was like during the 70s or the 50s or the 30s. They don't have any idea how anything ever was. And so they've got no perspective on it. And it makes them very easy to manipulate by the controllers.
Yeah, definitely. They have it down to a science now, you know, between the education of the young to the media and to the work. So I come from the generation where my family didn't even know their past, and they were more of a Catholic kind of family from Quebec, Canada, and Montreal, and then they ended up coming here and doing the American dream, and they ended up getting a drinking habit and a smoking habit, and that pretty much stuck them on the couch right after work. You know, they got the work done, but right after that, it was right to the couch, the smoking, the drinking. Of course, the dinner got done, and they were functioning, but as far as love and spiritual and knowledge, there was none of that in my house. So I was basically brought up with a TV, and I think a lot of my generation, I'm 42 years old, you know, could relate to that. And then, you know, the generation following this is the internet and so forth. And, you know, the things that I look at, though, too, is there's free will on our behalf as well, because, you know, like yourself, Vinny, you're out there, you're pursuing truth, you got the knowledge, you research, and you're interviewing a lot of people that are doing the same things that I'm doing as well and that you're doing. So we could actually break out of this mind control and this matrix that they have us in. And I think that they're allowing this right now, you know, with shows such as yourself and, you know, Alex Jones, even though he's, I feel more on a more controlled corporate level, even though it is, you know, truth or whatever that might be. They are allowing this truth to get out there. So we can break out.
The question is, can they stop it if they wanted to? And I don't think they can. It's I was talking to Karen Hudes the other day. I think it might have been yesterday even. And she said, oh, we've already won. And I was like, how do you quantify that? And then it hit me. The only thing that was holding humanity back from beating the New World Order is there was no awakening happening, right? Once an awakening starts, can't be stopped, right? Like, you know, when you it's like real early in the morning, Mo, and you need to take a wiki leak, and your body wakes you up, and you can't go back to sleep no matter how hard you try because you badly need to take a wiki leak. That's what's happening to humanity at the moment. Everybody is being forced to stay awake now until they go to the bathroom and purge what they need to.
Well, I agree and I disagree. Where I disagree is that the system that we're in, like if you look at Skype, that's what we're on right now. You know, Microsoft owns this, and, you know, there's all these various conspiracies about, you know, Bill Gates. And if you look at the internet, you know, to the best of my knowledge, based on the research that I've done and what I've heard from other researchers out there, it was invented by the military, you know, the U.S. military. So, you know, I think they could shut down things much more quickly than we think they can. So I think they could stop it at any time they want to, but they don't want to because it's such a minor level and it's not going to threaten their control systems that they have in. So they're going to allow people such as ourselves to do this, and we're going to be monitored, I feel. You know, whether that be your government in New Zealand or my government here, they're going to watch us. And as long as we're not a threat, you know, I don't feel knowledge is a threat. You know, knowledge about, you know, the chemtrails, knowledge about the GMOs and what they're putting in the food. Because obviously they understand that there's this knowledge out there. They have the, you know, in America, the U.S., forget who certifies the organic here, but they have a specific, you know, organic food unit, you know, from the government that certifies the organic stuff, and the GMO stuff is just the regular stuff, you know, that goes in the store. So the people that are hip to it here in America, we can go over there, you know, down the street from here in Carlsbad, California, there's a place called Jimbo's, and it's all organic. There's no GMO or anything in the store and so forth. You know, it costs a little bit more. But, you know, my theory there again is that they're allowing this knowledge to get out there, and it's up to us to use free will to use it to protect ourselves and then also inform our children, you know. And that's where I think people are lacking. You know, myself, I have children, and I know there's people out there that have children, and we need to educate them so they, of course, take this knowledge and then educate their children and their children. And we do it to, you know, live better lives. I don't think we're ever going to be able to necessarily break out of this system because their whole goal is control, and it always has been. I always, you know, based on my research, we've always been in a, you know, a slave type society. So,
well, you know, slavery does suck, and this is something that I've concluded is that, you know, I'm a slave. I know that I am, but I really don't like being a slave. And despite the fact that all this physicality that you see technically is enslaved, what's up here? What's in my mind? They don't think I'm a slave. We'll be right at it.
Look at me, look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. And of late, the AmericanFreedomRadio.com website has been down all the time. Like, all the time, it's down, which is incredibly frustrating. Nothing seems to be getting done about it. So in the meantime, you can go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And there's a player button on the homepage there. Or if you Google Vinnie Eastwood chat, there is a chat room that also has a player in it. So you can still listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show even without AmericanFreedomRadio.com being there, because their radio streams and everything that broadcast out operate independently of the website. And so I've stolen them for your listening pleasure. And my very special guest is Mo Bedard from GnosticWarrior.com. And we're talking about martial arts. And what was his name? David Whitehead. Have you spoken to David Whitehead before? He's got a dojo and that kind of thing.
No, I know who he is, but no, I've never spoken with him.
I'll hook you up, bro. Yeah, anyway, we do this thing called the Man Talk Project, and it kind of brings these elements of martial arts into his life, and you've been doing that a little bit yourself lately. It's about self-control, and what's interesting is I've started to relay this to the battle between good and evil. Like if you say, look at the Karate Kid, the movie, for example, you have a look at the bad guy in it. He's not about restraint. He's about attack, kill, whatever, by any means necessary. Whereas the good guy in the martial arts movies is the one who restrains himself. Someone who has a resolve of sorts, somebody who has honor. And I think that this is a very important element in the truth movement, because we all get attacked by trolls, various other forms of pituitary retarded scum. But what I think is really good about this is it gives you a chance to show who you really are. Do you lash out in anger, or do you have a calm, measured response like a Zen master?
No, I agree. You definitely have to have that calm response. And I was the exact opposite before I got into martial arts, or actually, you know, until I got a little bit older, I was always a little bit more aggressive and, you know, the attacker. It wasn't I was like a big asshole, but I was just always aggressive, and I really couldn't always control my emotions or my anger and so forth. And that always got me in trouble a lot. Started using drugs and drinking at a young age and kind of went down the wrong path. And, you know, even though I'm older now and getting into martial arts just 2 years ago, again, I'm 42 years old and, you know, going to get my black belt here in the next year. It's really taught me a lot about self-control and having that calm reserve. And, you know, when you're sparring in the rounds with other guys that are black belts and know how to, you know, kick your ass, basically, it's really difficult. And a lot of these guys are really good at what they do, and you think you're tough, but when you go in the round with these guys and they've been training for so long, it definitely makes it difficult. So you have to be calm, you have to be collective, and it's like a chess game, you know. And you got to think about that also in the truth movement as well. And you know, we have these people that are, you know, we might consider our enemies, the powers that be or whoever that be. They are the ones that rule over us, you know, and we got to find ways to kind of break into that system and flow and not use anger and be more zen-like with it, you know. And, you know, this stuff can stress you out. There's a lot of things that are negative that deal with the truth movement, and you got to watch that, you know. And that's my big thing as well, is trying to stay as positive as you can. Of course, be realistic with everything, you know, and there's yeah, negative aspects.
I was about to say, I really dislike the people who ignore all the negative aspects. They pretend that they don't freaking exist because they don't like it, because they just don't like it.
Yeah, definitely. My theory there is all emotions are good as long as they don't consume you. You know, you could be in love fairyland, you know, with this new woman that you meet or whatever, or this new, it could be a new food or a new drug, and it just totally consumes you, and it just unhealthy. You have to have balance in everything you do, and even, you know, a little bit of anger here and there is okay, as long as it doesn't consume you, you know, that anger and that hate. And, you know, you use it in the right ways and when you should use it. It's really a fight or flight response, you know, anger. So we shouldn't use it when you're, you know, driving. You know, hopefully you're not getting all pissed off at the drivers. I know it gets hard, but it's really something you don't want to do, because it actually damages you, I feel, because it releases these chemicals in your body that actually damage your heart and your central nervous system. So it's important that we manage it, but we, you know, you don't stay overly positive or overly negative. That's kind of the balance, you know, and we all got to find that. And each one of us is different, you know, our personalities, I feel, and our souls. And, you know, we can't be like Vinny, or you can't be like someone else. You got to be you, and you got to, that's what I feel is gnosis is, and being a Gnostic. It's your own path that you find, and you're comfortable living, you know. Mm. And sometimes, you know, some people like living, you know, completely negative, and I feel that, you know, if you're constantly living like that, that's bad. So again, that's balance. So
I think that change is the only constant in the universe, and what people have done is they've in fact, there's a landlady here from Birmingham, and she said to me once, "I don't like change." And I said to myself, you know, let me get this straight. You don't like the only thing that is assured to happen. You're pushing it uphill, man. I mean, come on. If I was insane, okay, and I wanted to be happy, what I would do is I would ignore all the things that don't make me happy and ignore reality whenever it tries to prevent me from enjoying my insane happiness, right? And sure enough, that's what everybody's doing, isn't it? People have gone absolutely crazy because their pursuit for pleasure and happiness has overrided their pursuit for truth.
I agree. And I actually believe, you know, I used to have a little motto for my website called "There's a War for Your Soul." And I actually think it's this deep in this world that we live in. And I believe in immortality, but also mortality. And I believe that we come into this world multiple times and you're given chances. And if we come across these truths and we ignore it and we have all these signs and we just want to be complacent and do nothing and we want to, you know, not have change in our lives because we're comfortable wherever we're at and we know all these things and we're not doing anything about it and we're not serving our fellow man out there and loving them and really doing something, I feel that it affects our souls. And, you know, I don't, you know, believe in the hell and the heaven thing, because I believe that's kind of something we create here on earth ourselves, you know, our own heavens, our own hells. But I also believe that there's some type of afterlife judgment. And, you know, if you look at the Egyptians, and I know you've had several researchers on here before, and, you know, if you look at the writings of Graham Hancock and Robert Bouval and all the guys that have written about ancient Egypt, they had several rituals for thousands of years that dealt with this in the afterlife. And you could see this on their hieroglyphics. And, you know, I know this is brought into the Catholic Church as well, because they have their own rites. And then you have Freemasonry, which has its own occult rites and symbolism with the various religions that deal with this as well. So, and they're always talking about, you know, immortality and, you know, Hermes, the thrice greatest. You know, this is basically a guy that has lived three times. So I believe there is something more being played here on earth. And, you know, the magic spell that we're under has us forget about all that. And you know, we come into here and we're given this free will choice. And if you're brought to the light and you're brought to the truth and you basically go back to the darkness, that's a severe, you know, if you're in, you know, Christianity, sin, you know, or a taboo that you do not want to do. So I believe, you know, people such as yourself, Vinny, that you're meant to do this. This is your destiny. And if you were to put down the mic and put down the video camera, that you would suffer some severe consequences, possibly in another life, you know. And you're given this platform that's amazing, you know. And even though it doesn't equate to dollars, you're reaching thousands of people with all this knowledge and all this hard work you put into it. And I think there's a reason that you're here to do this, because not many people could do what you do. And there's, of course, a lot of people out there that are doing this. You know, I'm doing it on a small scale, and then, you know, with LoanSafe.org on a larger scale with the mortgage foreclosures. But I feel we're each here kind of doing our little niches. And once you find that, you gotta go with it. And that's your higher calling. That's your soul. You know, the bullshit down here of making money and, you know, having that nice car and that nice house is the bullshit of earth materialism that, you know, Satan's kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right. And, I'm starting to get a little bit more religious of late, right? Not necessarily because I believe in doctrine, but because I believe in teachings and their values, right? So you have a look at a lot of the major religions. What are they really teaching at the end of the day? Well, they're teaching peace, mutual respect, and morality, right? Yep. That's it in a nutshell. That's pretty much all religions locked down as far as I'm concerned.
Across them all, correct.
Yeah.
With love, of course, I would throw love in there as always a big tenet of all the religions as well.
Yeah. And then you have a look at who controls these religions, and they're people who want war, who have no respect, who have no love, you know? And then it dawns on me that, my God, the religions are just like the governments. They say one thing, and then they do completely different. Therefore, I don't think I'll ever actually follow any religion to the letter. What I'll do instead is I'll follow my own path through life and adopt these religious principles to stop me from becoming evil, at least. You know, you know, that's, I think, what the premise for a truther, at least of my caliber, that religion plays in my life is merely to give me a background, a wall, these walls that I can't pass through because it's just not moral. It's just not ethical. Somebody starts, attacking me online or something like that, using disgusting language, violence, threats, physical abuse, and what have you. That wall stops me from doing what my reptilian brain tells me to do, which is fight back, say the exact same kind of threats, even worse, back at them. Take a conflict, turn it into a war. That's what my brain tells me to do. And then my heart tells me, no. You're not allowed to do that, Vinny. It violates all the principles that you're sworn to uphold. You're going to wind up becoming the very scumbag that you wish to expose. Don't freaking do it. Sure enough, I don't. And instead of hurting somebody who's trying to hurt me, I wind up staying up until 3 o'clock in the morning editing a video to help somebody who needs my help.
Definitely.
That's how I make up for it.
Yeah, essentially what you just described right now, Vinny, is Gnosticism and Gnosis. It's your own spiritual trip. Because in a nutshell, religion is teaching spirituality, but the word religion means to bind. So when you are joining a religion, you're binded into a brotherhood or a various rites or cults or what that might be, but you're basically binded with whoever is part of that religion. So if you're part of the Catholic religion, you know, you share in the Catholic rites of the Catholic Church, which of course is mainly Rome, and then you also have the Orthodox Greek side, which would be the Greek rites. So, you know, most people that are in the East or Greece or in those areas would follow that, and that would be the Byzantine Empire. So there's these various rites where people are a part of the religion, and the Gnostics were the guys that kind of saw and didn't want to be a part of that, you know, being binded to an empire, you know, whether that be Rome or whether that be the Greece Empire. You know, in Russia right now, you have the Russian Orthodox Church, and, you know, 75% of Russians are members of this church. And we're talking about the biggest country now in the world. So these religions are basically almost like brotherhoods. You know, the Catholic means universal, you know, in Latin. So in English, it means universal. It's a universal religion. And what they did is, at the time of the forming of the Catholic Church, they abolished all the other religions at the time, you know, in Rome's mind under Augustus Caesar, and they implemented Roman law and the Roman Church. And from there, you know, we get what we get. So, and then again, Jesus, he basically tells you in the Bible, he didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring a sword. You know, and this is the outcome of what we have for the past 2,000 years. We're in the year 2013, you know, and they have dates to these time periods. You know, I believe we're in the sixth age based on my research, and we're coming to that end right now, and they're signifying this, I feel. You know, with the Pope, we had the change from Pope Benedict over to Pope Francis, and you basically had Benedict, who was more, I feel, materialistic, flamboyant, kind of the way he portrayed himself with the way he dressed and kind of carried himself over the years, and then his resignation, and then Francis, Mr. Humble Guy. So
yeah, well, I guess he'd been a dick. All right, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. I think Thomas Paine once said, "My country is the world, and my religion is to do good." We'll be right back.
Present has gone. Fantasy is a part of reality, and we take the brakes off. We're thinking clearly, yet not thinking at all. And this feels right. We stop trying to control things. Warm rush of chemicals through us. We're fluctuating. Is this brain damage? We forget all the pain and the hurt in life. We want to go somewhere else. We're not threatened by people anymore. All our insecurities have evaporated. We're in the clouds now. We're wide open. We're spacemen, orbiting the Earth. Yeah, the world looks beautiful from here, man. We're nympholeptics, desiring for the unobtainable. We risk sanity for moments of temporary enlightenment. So many ideas, so little memory. The last thought killed by anticipation of the next. We embrace an overwhelming feeling of love. We flow in unison. We're together. I wish this was real. We want a universal level of togetherness where we're comfortable with everyone. We're in rhythm, part of a movement to escape. We wave goodbye. Ultimately, we just want to be happy. Yeah.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio, 5 days a week for your listening pleasure. And you can check out all the archives at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. If you have a radio station or something of that nature, you can become an affiliate for free. We'll just give you the archives and everything, and you can just play them all, and you can replace, I think, about a third of the ads. As long as you play a few of those American Freedom Radio ones, it's fine. Mo Bedard from GnosticWarrior.com is my guest. And we're talking about religion, spirituality, and for men, this has become something that's almost put into the background, right? We as part of the human species, right, we're supposed to be interconnected with all the rest of the human species. But the problem is we've been divided, fractured, getting into all these different genres of music, different genres of movies, and different cultural niches, to the point where we're not together with really anybody. There is no universal togetherness, is there? And I think this is a very, very important thing to recognize, because without that universal consciousness, without that awareness, without gnosis, i.e. knowing, rather than just believing, we've got real problems here, you know? I was thinking that was probably the difference between gnosis and belief. Belief is believing what something is, believing that you are who you say you are, who you think you are. Gnosis is not relying on belief. It's relying on knowledge, facts, evidence, something that's verifiable, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah, and what I want to specify too is gnosis is different for all of us, you know, our different past, just like, you know, you're different, Vinny, from some of your friends, you know, different from your girlfriend, your fiance, or your significant other. You know, I'm different than my wife. I have four boys and one girl, and they're all different. You know, so gnosis is finding that individual inside yourself, and I believe that's our soul, you know, our higher self. And it's a spiritual higher path, and you got to follow that path, and the truth is within us. And I believe the truth is within our blood and our DNA. And I talk about this a lot on my blog, and some people kind of get, you know, a little turned off by that, and some people like it. You know, all I'm talking about is we are our ancestors, and our ancestors are us up until now. And we actually have the teachings of what they have done in us. And a lot of how we react and how we do is really the reactions of our ancestors and how they have been trained. So, you know, if you grew up, say, in the African bush, I'll just give this as an example, you know, the African bush or the Amazon, you know, you're going to have a specific DNA and training from, you know, your ancestors and your father and your grandfather to let you survive in the African bush or the Amazon. You know, you're not going to have the intellect of Einstein. You're not going to be putting, you know, things together and making machines like, you know, if you were to come from the Western race, which, you know, some people would say is, you know, some of them are Jewish and so forth. And there's a lot of us are actually cousins to the Jews, but that's another story in itself. But basically it's tapping that inner gnosis and that knowledge and that intuition when you know something is right. And you do that through research and through knowledge. That's why Freemasons, you know, the Knights Templar, all these secret societies, the Rosicrucians, they're huge on knowledge. That's what it's all about, is garnishing that knowledge while you live. And my belief is our DNA is like computers, and we're learning that now via science, because they're making computer hard drives out of DNA. You know, they're doing it out of salmon DNA. And my understanding is these cells that they're making, these DNA computers, are a gazillion times more powerful than the ones they're making now with these Intel chips and quantum processors and so forth. So I believe all our ancestors and all those knowledge and all those teachings are in our blood, and we have to tap that when we live. And when you start researching your ancestors and you get a DNA test, what you do is you have now a guideline to who they were and what did they do? What did they study? So that's what I got into, even though I study, of course, other things and other beliefs and other religions or and other knowledge. I started studying what my ancestors studied. And I'll tell you what, my knowledge and my intuition and my learning and my gnosis went up a millionfold. It was like night and day. I went from studying things where I know I was studying some of the stuff they did to mainly studying what they did. And what I'm learning is I'm relearning things from them that's in my blood, and I'm learning this through gnosis. And some things I could, you know, look at and go, this is right or this is wrong via that. And Plato said all learning is remembering. And, you know, Manly P. Hall had said, you know, the mind is in the blood. Carl Jung, he was a big Gnostic, a Swiss Gnostic, and he had said all the memories are hidden within the blood, not in books. So you got to see these clues that they're leaving for us to understand that's where it is for each one of us. And, you know, if you're of a different race, you know, there's five or six different races on Earth, and I believe that a lot of these knowledge and these teachings are within these different race groups that we're in, and they kind of hide that from us. And I think that's the big thing. You know, Freemasonry seems to accept, you know, various religions and so forth, but you know, it's definitely based on knowledge and gnosis, and that's what I believe the G means in Freemasonry. It's gnosis.
Now, again, it's another religion, Freemasonry is, and as I mentioned in the previous segment, you have a look at the top of the religions and you see who controls them, and then you're like, wow, all of these religious tools and things and what have you, they're actually really, really good. The only problem is the people up at the top who violate their own rules. You know what I'm saying? Like, you take Freemasonry, for example. I've got a number of friends who are Freemasons, fracking good guys, and they know what they're talking about. And then you have a look at the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree with all the sexual abuse, the child sacrifice, the demon possession, and all of this kind of stuff, and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. These guys have managed to separate themselves from the rest of their brotherhood by choosing not to follow their own rules.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, you hear rumors and conspiracies about these things, you know, the child sacrifice and all these things. But I've never seen evidence of that and proof of it. You know, you hear things, but to me, those are kind of the conspiracies surrounding it. Do I think that they're, you know, interconnected with a secret brotherhood and various royal families that want to rule the world? Yeah, you know, that has been the basis of their orders, I believe, from the beginning, and I all their rites and their degrees, I feel, indicate that. And they're right across, you know, at 13 blocks from the Washington, the White House. They're 13 blocks right from there. You have the Scottish Rite Freemason building. You know, the first president of the United States here was a Freemason. Several presidents were Freemasons. We're basically a Freemasonic built country. So I feel there's a conspiracy to control the world, and it's a one world order, and they're interconnected with the church and the various other secret societies. And I feel something big is coming down right now with that. And they're letting us know with these changes with the top, with the popes. You know, Putin from Russia just went over to the Vatican, I think it was today or yesterday, and visited the Pope, which is the first time in, I think, 25 years. So there's a lot of moves that people aren't seeing, you know, that they're indicating to us. And I think we're entering that age. They call it the age of Aquarius, where it's the age of truth. And this old age is going to basically disintegrate over time. And I was talking to a guy today named Robert Sullivan. He wrote The Royal Arch of Enoch, and he's a 32nd degree Freemason. He's a historian, and he's been studying all this stuff for a long time. And his study is kind of the same as mine as far as the research into the ages. When an age ends and a new age begins, there's a transition period where the old one kind of crumbles and destroys, and the new one is being built. So I see people such as yourself, Vinny, myself, the other guys out there that are actually doing things, as we're building that new foundation, and the old one is getting destroyed.
Yeah, indeed. And we'll be back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, to talk a little bit more about that.